All right, Matthew chapter 5 this morning. We're in Matthew for the next 5 years. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 38. All right. Matthew 5:38. Continuing in here in the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "You've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." All right. Let's pray, and we'll talk about resisting not evil. That was the first thing the Lord said there, resist not evil. But let's pray. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd have opportunity among us to take your words and apply them where they need to be applied. Lord, I pray for the teachers in the back that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister your words. Lord, for those that are sick, I pray that you'd heal up their bodies. And Father, for Barry, Lord, that your grace would just be abundant there for both he and Nancy. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here this morning. I pray if anybody here is not saved, that today be the day of their salvation. And they'd understand their need for Jesus Christ, understand their need for God's righteousness. And Lord, I pray that you'd be able to convict hearts, instruct us and help us the way we need to be helped. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This is Jesus Christ interpreting, and really, again, like he's been doing, going over the law and interpreting the law. The verses here are explained over there, and I'll show you over here in Luke chapter 6. They're explained with a simple point of all of these verses. The principle, the overarching point of this, is that if you're good to good people, or I shouldn't say good people, if you're good to people who are good to you, it really doesn't, that's not, everyone does that. But if you're good to people who aren't good to you, well, that's something different. And so, look over here in Luke chapter 6. I'll give you the interpretation of it, and then I'll show you some other things about these verses. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. Luke 6, 27. Luke 6:27, he says, a good cross-reference to this, he says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. All right, there's something to that. I'll explain in a minute. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. All right, that's a characteristic of God there. That's one of the first points of all this. This is a characteristic of God. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. All right, so the point of, that's a good cross reference to what you just read in Matthew chapter 5. The overarching principle of the whole thing is that if you're good to people who are good to you, people do that, sinners do that, there's nothing special about doing that. But if you're good to people who aren't good to you, that's a characteristic of God Almighty himself. That's first of all his characteristic. And so he mentions being the children of the Most High or of the Highest. That means you would partake of the divine nature, and I'll explain that. I'll show you over there in 2 Peter where he mentions that, because it's a characteristic of God. The other thing is this is going to apply not only as a godly characteristic, but it also keeps you, as a practical matter, keeps people out of entanglements that they don't need to be involved in. But let me show you this verse. This is an interesting verse. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 1 about divine nature. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Remember, he said this is a characteristic of God. Second Peter 1:4. Let's see, verse 3 for the context. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right, so as a partaker of the divine nature, what he's describing in Matthew 5 is the divine nature. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like in action. All right, now let's see. Let's go back over here to Matthew and go through these verses individually here. Matthew chapter 5 and 38. So the idea is, if you're good to people who are good to you, okay. But if you're good to people who aren't good to you, that's a characteristic of God. That's what he does. First of all, the law. Verse 38, Matthew 5:38. He says, you've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. All right, that's in Exodus. That is the law. It's not bad. The law is good. Another way you might have heard that said is let the punishment fit the crime. You know, you might have heard it said that way. Let the punishment fit the crime. Don't let the punishment be beyond the crime or less than the crime. Let it fit the crime. And in the law, it was the Jews' right to reciprocate, or to, I should say, get back what someone has taken from them. I mean, that's what he said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. However, in the law, you don't have to do that. You don't have to take someone to court. You don't have to do that. So that's the law, he says. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Now, he says, verse 39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. All right, so the law gives an opportunity to get back, or get back what you lost. But he says, resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. All right, that is a characteristic, number one, the first thing about this. That's a characteristic of God Almighty himself. This is what you've just read is a characteristic of God himself. Look over in Isaiah chapter 53. If God went by the law and exacted punishment every time you did something wrong or do what? There wouldn't be anything left. So this is a characteristic of God. Isaiah 53, look in verse 4. Isaiah 53:4. Says, surely he hath borne our griefs. There it is. Smite thee on the right cheek, give him the other also. He bore our griefs. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. All right, that's a description of Jesus Christ. And that's a description of the divine nature. And when Jesus Christ says to his disciples, all right, this is, you've heard it said, eye for an eye. He says, but I say to you, resist not evil. What he's describing, first of all, is himself. If he opposed everything that was evil immediately and took it to court and exacted punishment, like Shirley said, there would be nothing left. So it's a divine characteristic to hold back, to show restraint, to let bad things happen and not retaliate every time something bad happened. Not just something bad, it is particularly talks about evil. Something evil is going on. I think we interpret that, we look at that and say, well, anyone that comes against me is bad. Well, you and I aren't the definition of good, so just because someone opposes you doesn't mean they're evil. Maybe you've done something that was messed up or something like that. But it says if evil, that's the connotation. Evil, something evil has come against you, then it says resist not evil. That's Jesus Christ. That's a good description of Jesus Christ. And then the second thing is this. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. This is why he's saying what he's saying. The Lord's saying what he's saying about describing himself, first of all, but to his disciples. 1 Peter 2 and 18. It says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle. That's what we, you know, serve the guys that's good to me, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? All right, so what's the value in doing wrong and getting buffeted for it? All right, that's just life. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called. Now watch this. This is why he's passing on to the disciples. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us a what? An example. An example. that ye should follow his steps. All right, here, I'm going to stop there. He said, you should follow his steps. Don't you love to think about Psalm 23 and the Lord is my shepherd? I mean, don't you get in trouble and it's just like, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, if you're not following his steps and he's not leading you, he's not your shepherd. I'm not saying you're lost or I'm just saying you're not following, he's not your shepherd, he's not leading you. And he says over there in Psalm 23, he says, he maketh me to lie down beside still waters. Well, what if those still waters, to get to those still waters, had to go through some rocky terrain to get to them? And then he says, he prepareth a table before who? My enemies. So the buffet is surrounded by evil. I mean, that's, so I got to get through the evil to get to the, where the food is. But in order to do that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the point is, if I'm going to, sometimes getting to the blessing, I give it to you in thinking of Israel now. All right, Israel leaves Egypt. God gets them out of Egypt, and then he takes them into the wilderness, and for a couple days there's no water. And understandably, I mean, from our perspective, understandably, that's bad. They go through the valley of Elah, and right after they complain, immediately after they complain, they're shown where the water is. Meaning if you just would have walked a little bit further, you would have got to it. Just a little bit further. And so the point was, to get to the water, you had to go through the valley. And so he says, resist not evil and all that. This is the characteristic of God. And he said, I'm the example. Jesus Christ said, I'm the example. So it's not, we're so glad Jesus did something for us and, you know, now we have our own way of doing things. He said, I'm serving the example here. You resist not evil. Because if you're going to resist, well, we'll deal with it in a minute. But this is a characteristic of God himself. So he says over there, we're in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So it's also a matter of trust in God. So when the Lord's reviled, Jesus Christ as a man, he commits himself to the care of the Father. He said over there in, you remember when he's in the garden, and Peter pulls out that sword and tries to kill Malchus, and the Lord says, put away your sword. Makes Peter mad. I think it makes Peter mad. Peter's going to end up denying him. But the thing the Lord says is, don't you understand, I can call down 12 legions of angels and destroy everybody. You understand, I mean, this is I'm allowing this to go on for a purpose. And I could change the situation. I could retaliate if I wanted to. But that wouldn't serve the purpose that I'm trying to accomplish here. And so resisting evil or resisting not evil in the life of Jesus Christ has the effect of saving sinners. I mean, if he retaliates, if Jesus Christ, you think about it, if Jesus Christ retaliated against everybody that did him harm in his life as a man, there would be nothing left. There would be no salvation. There would be no sacrifice. So there is a divine, there's a blessing. There is that's part of the divine nature. But there is something beyond something beyond, if you won't retaliate, if you'll trust in the Lord and let the Lord be the judge, there's something, there's a blessing beyond that. And that's what I'm trying to kind of get to is this, it's in our nature to retaliate and want to get back at people. Look in verse 24. It says, for 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, he would have never done that if he was just going to retaliate against everybody. That never would have happened. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Remember that? The Lord is my shepherd. All that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Prepareth a table before mine enemies. All that stuff. Well, if he's leading, this is the direction he's leading. I mean, and I know here in this country, you don't have persecution like you have in some other countries. But you do have people who, I don't know, for instance, you know, we'll go, you hand out tracts, you knock on doors. And I understand people don't want their doors knocked and stuff like that. But, I mean, we got to have some way of getting this out. There has to be some way of getting this out. This isn't for here, this is for getting out. And so you go and people will get mad that you're there. People will sometimes, on a rare occasion, cuss at you and stuff like that. And you know what you do? You just keep doing it. You don't have to retaliate. You just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's when he says over there in Matthew 5 about just turn the other. You just keep plugging along doing what you're doing. All right? The first thought in all this is this, all right? This is a description of Jesus Christ himself. It's an example. It is a defining the divine nature at work, and it's going to do something for you, like we're talking about here. There's some practical help here. Go over to Matthew, let's see. There's a couple of things here. I tell you what, look over in John chapter 18. I'll show you this one. It's part of the divine nature to leave justice to God Almighty. And I understand there's some government and things like, I mean, you're putting thieves in jail and stuff like that. That's not what we're talking about here. John 18:36. All right, John 18:36, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. All right, so you're looking forward to something. That's all coming in the context of kingdom of heaven and all that kind of stuff. The idea, again, if you want to fight, I mean, you got something to prove here. You got something to gain here. Jesus Christ is here. He's before Pilate. He's getting ready to be crucified, and he said, look, if this were about here and now and me obtaining the throne now, I would have armies fighting for me. That's not what this is about. All right? One more time, Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50 and verse 5. Isaiah 55, or 50 verse 5. It says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back or turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Just plow ahead. That's what he's doing at the crucifixion. He's just moving ahead. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Verse 10. Here's the idea. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That's the idea is you're leaving your retaliation in the hands of the Lord. All right, go back over to Matthew and see something else. It's a characteristic of God. It's a characteristic of Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't a characteristic of Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be anything left of anybody. Matthew 5. Sometimes God uses good behavior or resisting not evil as a witness against evil itself. Matthew 5, right back over in verse 40, says, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. All right, again, it's kind of the same principle all through these things. Let me show you, sometimes the Lord uses, like I said, I don't know how else to say good behavior, but when you leave the results in the hands of God, or you leave retaliation in the hands of the Lord, he'll use that resistance or lack of resistance of evil as a witness against evil itself. I hope that makes sense. I'll show it to you in Romans chapter 12. Look over in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and 19. I'll give you the opposite side of that. All through Matthew 5, 6, 7, he talks about you have your reward, or the Pharisees would have their reward. They do things to be seen of men and all that stuff. You know, sometimes if you take something into your own hands, the Lord will let you just take it into your own hands. And then his hands will be off of it. You want to do this, then you do that, and I will get out of it if you want me out of it. However, if you leave it in the Lord's hands, then he may use this thing maybe to help someone or even as a witness against them sometimes. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Give place. Let it go. Let it have its place. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. So it's not your job to be the revenger. You're not the revenger. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So you got, if you got this, the mentality of retaliation, that's evil on top of evil on top of evil, and everybody's got to get back, and you know, you hit me first, I got to hit you. You know, going back to the kids, and he hit me, I hit him, you hit me, I hit him, you hit me. And eventually, if nobody overcomes evil, evil is wins. It's everything's evil. So here's someone, he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Somebody be the adult in it. Somebody stop it. But he said there a very interesting phrase, verse 20. If thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's interesting. Now, I don't have time to go through all of that stuff. But in short, God would use the witness of the good against the evil in the world. He would use as testimony against evil, and he would use that as a basis of judgment. It goes back to the idea that if you leave it in the Lord's hands, he'll revenge the thing. I mean, or somebody gets saved out of it or something like that. But if you leave it and you trust the Lord in this thing and you leave it in his hands, you just press forward, do the right thing, press forward, do the right thing. He's the revenger. He'll take care of all this. He'll make sure it all evens out in the end. Maybe not even out here. It won't look like it will, but he'll make it even out the way it needs to. All right, so there is the Lord's characteristic. There is a part of this that keeps the disciples out of being entangled with fighting lawsuits and just getting into skirmishes that they have no business getting into and sidetracking what the point of what they're doing is. He says over there, if he compels you to go a mile, go with him twain. That has to do with, if somebody's in a position to compel you, I guess they're either their government or your boss or something, but somebody's in the position to compel them. That's some authority figure. Then the generosity of any man asks and things like that. Borrow without expecting return and things like that. Now here's the interesting thing, one interesting thing about all this. Go back over to Matthew and I'll show you a little layout that's kind of interesting. Back over there in our verses, Matthew 5. You get Matthew 5 in one hand and Matthew 27 in another. The Bible is an incredibly interesting book, to say the least. What he's just described is not only describing the characteristics of God himself, not only some practical things to keep the disciples focused on what they're doing, and by extension us, but he's also laid out the steps to the cross. Kind of interesting. All right, you got Matthew 5 there, and then Matthew 27, verse 29. Yeah, look in Matthew 27, 29. Says, and when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him, mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. All right, the first thing Jesus Christ said was, if they hit you on the cheek, turn the other. All right, this is one thing they're doing. They start beating him up. Then in verse 31, and after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. All right, so Jesus Christ is carrying his cross up into this point. He's been made to carry his cross. He's been, I don't know the reason for compelling Simon to do this. Then in verse 33, so you've got the beatings, you've got the walking a mile, I think is the second one, or taking the law of the coat. That'll be another thing that happens. Verse 33, and when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation, written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Look down in verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now, I'll take you through this thing real quick here from Matthew 5. So in the road to the crucifixion, Jesus Christ is beat up the night before, and he doesn't retaliate. He doesn't fight back. He's run through this kangaroo court by the Jews in the middle of the night, then brought before Pilate early in the morning. They beat him over and over and over again. They beat him. They're trying to get something out of him, or just trying to hurt him, essentially. But he doesn't retaliate. Then they take his coat at the crucifixion. They take his coat. They cast lots for all his clothes. And the soldiers divide up his clothes. That's, if any man will sue thee at the law, take thy coat, give thy cloak also. All his clothes are gone. This is all he has left. His clothes are gone. Whoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. He's carrying, over there in Mark and I think Luke, he's carrying his own cross. I don't know how long he carries it. But after being beat up, after being stripped down, they lay the cross on him and tell him, take your cross and go up the hill with it. And he does that. And he never fights back. And he never opens his mouth. And he never says, this is unfair. And he never says, this is unjust. And you and I are glad he never said that. Because if he ever said that, you and I wouldn't be sitting here today doing what we're doing. We wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't have any of the benefits of the divine nature or any of the benefits of redemption or any of those things. And then he says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Verse 50, what you just read is after being beat up, after his clothes being stripped down, his clothes being parted, after carrying his cross for I don't know how long he carried his cross, he goes to that cross, they hang him up, and he gives his own life. This is the progression of, these are the steps to the cross. I mean, this whole thing is, it is over and over a parallel of the life of Jesus Christ. It's an example that Jesus Christ set. It is God in the flesh, and how God in the flesh reacted and worked and ministered and disciplined himself and resisted not evil, wherein he could have, at any time, like he said over there in Matthew, he said, I could call 12 legions of angels and end this whole thing. But he never did. So the point is, when Jesus Christ says, I mean, there's several points to it, but when Jesus Christ says this to his disciples, he's describing his own walk, he's describing his own life, he's describing how God reacts in the flesh to these things. And he's describing a divine nature that his disciples are to be a part of. They have this divine nature. You're going to have this divine nature, and this is how God reacts in the flesh right now. My kingdom is not now of this world. One day it will be, but not now. Not now. I'm not trying to fight for a kingdom now. I'm not trying to retaliate and gain justice now. I'm not looking for justice now. I'm looking for justice later. I'm not looking for the rewards now. I'm looking for them later. I'm not looking to get everything back that I lost now. I'm looking for that later. And so this is all the description, first and foremost, of God himself and God manifest in the flesh, of Jesus Christ, of the way he gave his life. And then he said over in Peter, he is the example. He's the shepherd. And if you want to walk in it being led by the shepherd and walk in the same steps the shepherd walks, that this is what those steps look like. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, if he's not my shepherd, maybe I do want. Maybe I got so many wants I can't keep up with them. And that's because he's not my shepherd. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I tell you what, just we'll go back. We'll end it there. Look over in Psalm 23, and I'll read this thing to you because it lays it out pretty good. Psalm 23. Yeah, we'll end it on this one. Good application here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All right, so maybe we got so many wants because we don't have the right shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, that sounds like what he's just describing. The food is all there, but surrounded by evil everywhere. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love the good parts of that. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, he's my shepherd. I just don't like the parts where he sets the table before the enemies. Where sometimes getting through those paths of righteousness are a little bit rocky. Sometimes doing the things he's prescribed to do, yeah, I mean, I want him to be my shepherd, but if he's going to be my shepherd, I'm going to have to walk in the path that he prescribed. So this is over there in Matthew. You don't have to turn back there. This is the commandment or the instruction to resist not evil. And the reason he says that is because that's what he did. And if he never did that, you and I wouldn't be here. At least not doing what we're doing. We wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't have any hope. We wouldn't have any light. We wouldn't have any Bible. We wouldn't have anything. Just be lost sinners, wandering around, living in our sin, because God chose to retaliate every time he saw evil. Thank God he didn't. Thank God he didn't.